Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Tuesday, June 25th. We're back with another great show. We have a special guest in the studio. If you want to catch us on Facebook, go to our LA Talk Radio page on Facebook, and you can see us there. You can share, you can watch, you can do whatever you want as long as you stay with us. Good morning, Danny.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. A little tired.
You're good. Yeah, you tired?
Mm-hmm.
How was your night? Good sleep?
It was fine, yeah.
Every day we review our sleep quality here. So it's very interesting to everyone.
Yeah, no, I cleaned a lot and then I just got drunk with one of my friends and I went on a terrible date yesterday. It was probably the worst day I've ever been on.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Was that like, I mean, you didn't talk about this or anything. Is this somebody we know or was that a first date?
No, it's that guy that kept bringing gifts to my job.
Oh, I'll kill it with him.
Horrible mistake. I would have rather just walked around the neighborhood for 4 hours.
Really?
It was really bad. He was homophobic. He bashed gays for like 2 hours.
Wow.
While we were in the Uber with the gay driver, by the way.
Why is that important on a date to do that?
I thought it was a little bizarre. Yeah. I think maybe because he knew the Uber driver was gay.
Uh-huh.
So it just started from there and just like spiraled downhill. And I was like, you can't talk like this.
Yeah.
Because he's from Russia.
Really?
So he's like, in Russia, if you're gay, you get shot in the head. Okay. I'm like, I don't think people are just out in the streets of Russia.
Yeah, so why don't you respect them here for crying out loud?
That's what I said. I go, you're in America now.
Yeah.
So then we go to this restaurant in Beverly Hills and he's like telling me it's his favorite restaurant. So I was like, why? Like, I thought the place was okay. I wasn't like blown away by the spot.
Right.
And I was like, why is this your favorite restaurant? He goes, look around. There's no monkeys. Yeah. And for me, I go, oh, yeah, I mean, people can't bring pets into restaurants.
Right, right.
And he goes, no, I mean monkeys. I go, yeah. And he was like, black people.
That's
like,
what he said
yeah.
to you? Are you serious?
And he goes, I go, excuse me? He goes, have you ever been to a restaurant where it's all black people? I go, yeah, I have. He goes, it's so loud. Anytime I see too many black people, I just leave. I go, you know I'm black, right?
He didn't know.
No, he had no idea.
No.
No idea.
Whoa, he probably wanted to just cringe and hide in the corner, no?
He didn't care.
So what kind of a guy is this?
I don't know. It leaves a sour taste in my mouth for Russians for the rest of my life.
Really? Well, but don't generalize about everybody. It's not like that, you know? I mean, some things are from culture.
But if you think about it, have you ever met a black Russian or a Spanish Russian or any Russian with color at all?
No.
So, yeah, he's not lying. This is something that they believe out there.
Yeah, probably.
He goes, if I ever brought you home to my parents would tell me to get the fuck out and never come home.
Wow.
I'm like, this date is a nightmare.
It is.
A nightmare. So my sister was like, why?
Where do you find these goddamn people, man? I mean, they're the worst.
So my sister was like, why didn't you leave? I was like, I ordered like a $90 pork chop. I was staying until I did If he was going
to
insult gays and me, I'm at least eating an expensive meal.
Exactly. What the hell, you know?
Yeah. That was bizarre.
Did you keep the gifts he gave you?
Well, I returned one of them to the Real Real. It's like the shop where you can return like high-end fashion items.
Right.
So I just returned it. But you have to wait till it sells till you get money.
I see. Okay.
So I did that last week. And then I kept the perfume because perfume was bomb.
Yeah, at least make some money on this guy.
Yeah. Then I asked him a question. I was like, hey, so like, what would you do if your girlfriend cheated?
Right.
You know? And he was like, I'd put her in a meat grinder.
Really? Yeah,
and I
said, kill her, right?
Yeah, I go, what do you mean? He goes, that's what we do in Russia.
Oh, my God.
I was like, okay, well, you don't do that in America.
No, it's...
Like, murder's not okay.
But you know what? This guy's different. I mean, he's really bad. I wouldn't generalize about Russians.
Because I dated a Russian back in Boston, and he was, like, stone cold, too.
Really?
Yeah, and then I'm kind of wondering, no wonder why he didn't want to, like, settle down with me, because I'm probably black.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to bring me home. What is he going to say to his dad? Hey, this is my black girlfriend, who's covered in tattoos, by the way. Yeah, so, I mean, it makes sense. I mean,
God,
I'm not going to be, like, racist towards Russians, but I'll never, ever, ever date one.
Yeah.
Ever again.
So it's just a physical thing for him. He wouldn't take you in public.
We were in public.
No, but I mean with people he knows.
Oh, probably not now.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably not.
That's what I mean. So yeah. There's no future there.
Then he's like, let's have a baby before he knew that I was black. So I go, you know that our kids would be black, right? He goes, you're not black. I go, my daddy is blacker than these salt and pepper shakers. Yes, I am. Okay. And he's like, no, you're not. You're Spaniard. I'm like, I'm not fucking Spanish, dude. I'm not Spanish.
Everybody thinks that.
Yeah, everybody. I'm like, and even at that, even if I was Spanish, you still couldn't have kids with a Spanish person, clearly what you're saying.
Right, right.
Oh, God. So I went home and I heavily drank with my gay friend. We were just laughing. So he texted me at like 9:30 at night and was like, what are you doing? I was like, oh, I'm hanging out with my gays talking about black culture.
Yeah. I mean, this guy's like heavy core racist and homophobic.
But he had no problem. Even when we were sitting in the restaurant, so we went to two stops. We had to grab drinks at the first spot. Uh-huh. And in the first spot, he was bashing gays. I'm like, keep your voice down or I'm walking out of this restaurant. Do not associate me with your hate.
Yeah.
I go, all my closest friends are gay. I'm gonna need you to shut the fuck up.
You know, I gotta tell you, your first dates are fucking like out of this world. I mean, they're like it's weird, you know. That's not normal.
No, it's not.
You go on a first date, it's neat, it's nice. Yeah. People try to impress each other.
Yeah.
Things like that, you know.
And then he chewed with his mouth open.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is just.
Yeah, I'm going home.
I literally looked at him while we were sitting across the table. I go, you're barbaric.
Yeah.
Literally, you're barbaric. While he was chewing. He's like, what are you talking about? And then came to grab his plate because there's two pieces of octopus left that are this big. And he like screamed at the waiter. Whoa. I was like, oh my God. Please, I hope no one I know sees me here.
Yeah. Wow. All right. Well, we're going to bring in our guest right now because she wants to join in the conversation. So we might as well. We're joined by, let me see if I can say this again, Adelaida Avdic, right?
It's pretty good.
Pretty good, right? There you go. The spelling is not intuitive, but so what's the origin of the name?
Bosnia, originally from Bosnia.
Where's that? Is that from Russia?
Near.
Okay, so
tell us what's going on out there.
It was pretty bad in Bosnia too, yeah.
So we were originally part of Russia. Yeah. Everything was Russia, that was Eastern Europe. Yeah. And we broke apart during the war when Yugoslavia broke apart. So that was back in the early 90s, which is how I got here to the U.S. But I know what you're saying. I've seen some of these things in action in real life, and it's kind of crazy because people don't think it's wrong when they're saying this to you. Like, they think you're the crazy one.
Yeah.
Like, no. Huh? This is not how we do things here. So I completely relate to that because sometimes I'm like, shh, don't say these things. Like, that's not okay.
Yeah.
Like, you can't. Right. But it's a difference in culture. It's in a different country, you know, all that. Right.
But at that point, it's like, you need to go back to the country you came from because this is not, you're choosing to come to a country where we don't believe in that shit.
Yeah. Right.
So what are you doing here?
And you don't want to adopt our point, you know, like our way of life. You want to bring your shit with you.
Right.
Here, you know?
He told me that he wishes Hitler was around and killed all the gays.
Wow. So, I mean, but that's not
that's
all Russians,
wild.
Right?
It can't be all Russians.
No.
I don't think it's all Russians.
I'm going to say that Russians that were born in America are probably different.
Yeah.
He's not born. Sure. He's like a heavy, like, right off. He's only been here for 3 months, like, heavy accent.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
He brings his shit with him.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've seen that before.
Yeah. Well, the funny part is he told me that his brother faked documents for him and pretended that he was gay and he was getting beat up all the time in Russia so he could get asylum here and stay. Without a visa.
Really?
So I'm like, so basically you're using what you hate to come where you want to go.
This guy's gay. I mean, he's...
That's what I was thinking. Right? I was thinking he must be gay.
And he hates himself. I'm telling you.
Yeah. And maybe he was really getting beat up
in
Russia.
He's too preoccupied with gayness. What is this?
He talked about it for far too long.
Right?
Like, far too long. And then my friend was outside of my apartment waiting for me, and he was gay. So he's like walking up to the car, and I go... What are you doing? I put my hand out. I go, what are you doing? He's like, I'm going to say hi to your friend. I go, my friend's gay. You're going nowhere near him. Nowhere near him. Yeah. You can leave now. And then he left on a scooter. I'm like, this is the most bizarre day of my life.
Wow.
That's why I drank so much last night.
Yeah. Suppress all the stupidity of going out with someone like that.
Oh, God. Yeah.
So, Adelaida, you came from Bosnia. That was a very hot spot. A lot of fighting and stuff like that. Mm. You were born into that?
Yeah, so I was born when all of this was happening, and we were actually able to leave just as it was all ending. So when Clinton sent in the troops to get us kind of out of there. That's when we were able to come as refugees to the U.S.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So some of my earliest memories, and I don't tell many people this just because it's kind of a weird thing to bring up in a conversation, but I mean, no weirder than your date last night.
Right. Yes.
But you know those loud sounds? So I live in Tucson, Arizona, and we have a base there. So when I hear the planes, that always scares me because that sound is associated with grenades and bombs dropping. Like there was kind of like a sequence, and we would hide down in the basements of the buildings we were in because obviously that was the safest place. And that sound always scares me. And I studied psych in college, and I was kind of thinking, how do I desensitize myself from this sound?
Right.
And it's not like getting over a fear of balloons. Like you bring a balloon, you can desensitize someone from that, but I can't like have planes fly over me to desensitize me. So it's something I'm always afraid of, and I always get nervous. Wow. And my friends are like, it's okay, it's okay. And it's the military style planes that scare me because they're so loud and like they kind of shake like whatever building you're in. You feel that. And that's really
you
what
remember
scares
that.
Me. That's like
I guess
one of
as
those
a child, it's traumatic.
Yeah,
it's you don't know the next bomb where it's going to fall.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Wow. So this is the environment you grew up in. Do you have any siblings that grew up with you?
I do. I have
a
younger brother.
Oh.
He actually was born in the U.S. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So he was born in Pennsylvania. We originally came to Philly, and we lived there for about 3 years, and we were taken in by the Catholic Church. And we lived there for 3 years until my dad was able to kind of get us up off the ground, and he had a career. He became a pilot. And
oh, wow, the irony.
Right? Yeah. Seriously. And so we moved to LA, which is where I did grow up, but my brother was born back in Philly, and so he could technically be president. I can't.
Oh, well, next time around, you know, you can be just about anything else, you know, so that's okay. It's not so great to be president.
It's not a great job.
Can
it
you imagine having so much responsibility?
I'd be slacking off, too. People are like, you have a meeting at 5, I'm like, cancel it.
Yeah, right.
Like, I can't make
but
it.
But the whole world would be watching.
Yeah,
you know?
I know.
No,
that's why I gotta low key think that Trump is waiting for his presidency to be over. I feel like he must not enjoy that. He's too narcissistic.
No, that's what people thought before. And look, he loves it, and he's running again enthusiastically. So
yeah.
But let's go back to
no politics.
Yeah, exactly. So let's go back to that. And so you were born and you grew up there for a few years, right?
Yep.
How old were you when you came out to this country? You were 5. Wow.
Are you currently a citizen now or no?
Yeah.
Okay, that's
good.
Well,
she has to be.
Yeah, yeah, I was going to say that's a long time. Right. Well, I don't even know how old you are, but I imagine 5 was a long time ago.
Yeah. It was a long time ago.
Yeah,
and
she
actually,
did indicate in the 90s that the Bosnian conflict was
We were lucky because we were able to become citizens right away. I have friends now who have been here for 10 years and they still don't have true citizenship. Like it's much, much harder in today's day and age. And I'm so glad that we're not coming over today. Whew, that would be a disaster.
Oh, yeah. You probably wouldn't make it.
Yeah.
In,
but as
like,
refugees,
no, you're
it's different. You know,
exactly.
It's not the
same.
You know, so you came in under a special case.
Mm-hmm.
And
I mean, you could always say that you're gay and getting beat up and get asylum. So.
Yeah,
true.
Right. She had better reason than that. But what was the reason for the fighting there? I mean, obviously, Yugoslavia was breaking up and stuff. And there were, like, different, like, tribes almost, right?
Yes, exactly.
The Serbs and the Bosnians.
Yep.
And the Serbs, right?
Yep.
So it was broken up, and everybody wanted a piece of the action there.
Yeah. There's a couple different conflicts. And you can ask all kinds of people, and they have a different say on what exactly happened. But religion was part of the issue.
Right.
Muslims versus Catholics, that's one piece of it. And then there was land. So it was a couple different countries. So Yugoslavia was Serbia, Slovakia, Bosnia, I think Croatia was part of it.
Right.
You got Slovenia, all of these different pieces that are different countries now were all one. And so everyone wanted their own land. They wanted different rulers. They just wanted to have their own identity, which makes sense.
Right.
But I think the issue where we got into it being genocide is because there were Serbians specifically, and it was on the Catholic side. They were essentially, and I could be wrong with that, so don't quote me on that, but it was definitely Serbians. They wanted to do an ethnic cleansing.
Ethnic
it
cleansing,
was Bosnian
right.
Muslims that they were usually after. That was the biggest
crazy.
Issue.
Right.
And so a lot of people didn't even know about it. So I always give kudos to Clinton for actually bringing in the troops, because most people would not have gotten involved in these
right.
issues. And it was until somebody leaked news of what was actually happening, And we're just normal people going about our day, and you just see like that bomb footage drop. And back then, that footage was really hard to get. Like today we have Vice, we have all these right. avenues that can get this amazing footage, not amazing, but like good quality of like, this is what's actually happening. So back then when that was leaked, Clinton was like, we got to get in there and we got to like save these people. There's right. no reason that this should be ending people's lives. It's just a difference. It's a conflict, just like any other thing that's happened. So I'm really glad that we had the support of the U.S. back then, because my life would be a whole different thing if I was still in Bosnia, if right. I wasn't here today.
Right.
Right.
If there was a life left, I mean, I don't want to say that, but
yeah. right.
because a lot of people were dying, you know, and like you said, if the West didn't get involved, there would have been some atrocities there that are 10 times as bad as
yeah.
right.
actually happened, you know?
Yeah, I mean, history repeats itself. We're seeing that today.
It really
and
does.
What's happening now, it's hard for the U.S. to get involved in every single issue because right. the world has so many of them. We disagree with a lot of people, like, obviously, you know, with your date and this different perspective from the Russian, but it's hard for us to do and help everybody, but I think we have to pick our battles, literally, and it's, you just got to make that call. It depends on the president, depends on the government, depends on the people we have in this, you know, in the government.
Yeah,
awesome.
That guy was Russian and Serbian, so that makes sense.
Oh, Serbian?
Yeah, really? He told me he's half Russian,
yeah,
half Serbian.
That's their enemy, you know?
Yep, yeah. So that sounds like why he's such a winner.
Yeah, but they were pretty cruel in this battle. I mean,
anyone who says,
war.
I wish Hitler was around to get rid of gays, like, that is not an okay thought to be having at all.
You don't want to be dating someone like that.
No.
There's too much hatred, too much self-loathing. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah. I think it's usually fear. They're afraid of what they don't understand and what they haven't seen. And if their country doesn't have a lot of it, they're like, what is that? It's just completely foreign to them. And then they respond with hate, which is very sad.
Right. And then there's countries where they throw them off the roof, you know, and things like that because people can't deal with these things.
Yeah.
You know, they don't know how to deal with it. It's like our way is the only way.
Exactly.
And
that's it. I hate that perspective.
Yeah.
Right. But that's how wars start every time.
Yep.
You know.
Facts.
We're joined by, if you're just joining us, we're joined by Adelaida Avdic. I hope I'm still saying it correct. But that's okay. I mean, you guys, we spelled it on the website and everything. You tell me how it's pronounced.
Adelaida Avdic.
Adelaida Avdic.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not too far.
No, you're doing good.
Yeah. It's a C with an apostrophe, so it's sort of like questionable of how do you pronounce
yeah,
it, you know?
I'd probably hack it up for sure.
So tell us a little bit about what it is that you do these days.
So these days I am a digital content creator. I am creating photos, videos, writing a lot of content online, and I work with a lot of brands that mean something to me, brands that I agree with. And it's really just about being creative online. And in today's day and age, it's so easy to create content and just put it out there when it's, you got YouTube, you got Facebook, Instagram, all that good stuff. So it's a lot easier to create content and just be creative. I don't have to be a painter or a true artist in that sense because I have none of that talent. You know, when I told my mom back in the day that I wanted to be something creative, it's like, I can't draw, I can't paint. What am I going to do that's creative? So it's amazing that we have this avenue now where I can put in my creativity, but I don't have to draw.
That's true. That's
very true.
Mm-hmm. Now, Danny's very busy online as well, and this is cool because we're going to have a lot of interesting things to talk about. But so you actually were able to make a business out of your activity online, right?
Yes. So are you creating content for others or for yourself?
Both.
Okay, gotcha. Gotcha.
Oh, both. Like, what do you create for other people, for
example? So usually what I'm doing, and this is how it became a business, is I'm creating content for brands that they're then repurposing and using on their end. So if I create a video of me, let's just say I'm like rolling into my house, it's a day in the life, and I use X product. I give that content to them, and then they're able to use that in their promotional elements as well.
Oh, right.
So it's a little bit of both, but it's usually me posting content on my platforms on their behalf.
Right. Yeah, I get that.
Now, so what makes you desirable for them to come to you and have you do that for them?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's very competitive these days, as you guys know. There's so many people, thousands and thousands of people doing this. There's actually a platform that I'm on, and it showed like 80,000 people are now signed up on that platform. And I'm like, oh, wow, that's a lot.
Yeah.
So the difference with me is that I am very honest, very real. If a product sucks, I'm going to tell people that it sucks.
Yeah, that's great.
And
I love that.
I'm just so tired of seeing the same people. So
like post a flat tummy tee and nobody ever uses it. It's like
there's like five brands that are just And I probably shouldn't list them because that's also not good. But there's like five that if you've worked with them, other brands know that you take money for anything.
Yeah.
Because those products don't actually work. Like with flat tummy tea, you're just shitting your pants all day. Like I can drink salt water and have the same effect. Right. I don't need to pay $40 for a tea to sit on the toilet all day. It's just ridiculous.
Right.
And so now we're in this phase with these gummies. And I've talked to so many doctors about this.
What gummies? The sugar gummy- bear? I shouldn't have said the name. I just
said it was me. So there's these gummies, and I've talked to so many doctors about this, and you are just peeing and pooping the vitamin out of your body.
Wait,
that's
is
all
it,
you're doing.
Is it is the it, gummy for the hair?
Yeah, because most people, so here's the thing. This their marketing is brilliant because most people do not need that vitamin.
Right.
It's not going to make your hair long and luscious. Like if you have thinning hair, yeah, sure, it'll help you. That's a very small percentage of the population.
Right.
So we're just paying $30 for these supplements that we are just then peeing out because our body can't do anything with them. It's too much vitamins.
Right.
And your body can only use so much of it. So when I talk to doctors about this, they're like, stop. This needs to end. This like vitamin gummy situation because most people don't need that stuff.
Right.
Wow.
It's crazy.
I never even heard about it. That's interesting.
Right.
Good.
Wow.
Yeah. So the difference between me and other people is if something's not good, I'm going to tell you. And I am totally okay with, you know, certain brands turning away from me because for me at the end of the day, it's more important to bring the truth and the honesty to the people who are actually spending the money. And I'm sick and tired of seeing the same people in the beauty fashion space promoting things that don't actually work.
Right.
I've tried these products. I know they're garbage. So if you're promoting it, I'm not going to trust what you're saying.
Right.
And people learn that over time, and consumers have gotten a lot smarter. They can tell now, like if you're promoting Too Faced, then it's, you know, Benefit, then it's this brand. They're like, wait, well, which foundation do you actually like?
Right.
Like, what product are you truly standing behind? And it gets too confusing. And that's the difference is I'm going to be honest and people know to come to me for the true review of if the product is actually good or not, because I'm just going to be very honest and respectful about it. It's not like I'm bashing them. It's just, this doesn't work.
The beauty market is actually really saturated. I felt for like a really long period of time, everyone was just doing the same shit. And then you got the people that popped off like James Charles and Nikita Dragon, who now has, you know, his own stuff going on. But you got to understand he also is, she is also as popular as she is because she did the transition from male to female and looks like
amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I don't think I've ever seen such great work. This influencer used to be a boy and he's transitioned into like an iconic iconic woman, basically. Like fan bases from probably males that are straight, females that are straight, men that are gay. It's just his transformation is crazy. But you got a few people that popped off and then everyone else is just, I feel like it just became so much of everybody doing the same things that the people that were doing it from the beginning of makeup blogs are the only ones making money now.
Yeah.
It's like, like why pay somebody else who has 60,000 followers when we got this person who has 6 million who can review.
Exactly.
But they're paying a lot. Like,
I'm kind of stuck in that in between because I'm not in the millions, but I'm also not in this micro situation.
Right.
So brands, they have two strategies usually. Sometimes they want to work with the people who only have like 50,000 followers because that's cheap. You know, you throw a couple $100s and you've paid them.
Right.
But then when you work with the millions, you're talking like six figures sometimes, sometimes seven, sometimes more, depending on what who they are and what they are.
Yeah, I forget what blogger it was. I think Isabella, I forget her last name, but she blew up on Instagram and then she started doing the YouTube thing. But she gets paid $65,000 a video.
It's crazy. I just found out one of my friends actually made $100,000 for three videos on YouTube. And I'm like, I should have focused on YouTube.
Are you on YouTube?
I am. I am on YouTube and I'm much more consistent now. But I've always focused mainly on the blog because I'm a writer. That's really what I love.
Yeah.
But now people don't want to read because they're lazy. They just want to see it.
Yeah.
You know, we're very visual. So now I'm kind of transitioning back into consistently posting on YouTube.
Yeah.
And I do think I have a pretty good strategy for my YouTube channel because I had about 10,000 people who stuck with me because the last 2 years I've just been really focusing on Instagram and my blog and doing the blog. And people stuck with me. And now that I'm posting again, I really have a good strategy of just how to get the audience. Because like I said, what I'm saying, like honesty, being real about all the drama in the beauty space, just that alone could be a channel of itself. And people love that honesty. So I think when you see me talking and you see my passion and I always have my hands moving, people relate to that. And I think that will do really well long term.
Right.
So I'll talk to you guys in a couple months, see where we're at. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I feel that, though, because that happened to me.
Yeah.
I took, like, a break from YouTube, and it's my biggest regret ever. Yeah. I'm like, damn it.
Yeah.
I would have been YouTube huge on YouTube right now. Yeah.
YouTube is huge.
And I didn't realize how much people just really like to just watch people.
Long videos, too. Just 45-minute long videos. I'm like, wow. I have this many people watching this?
I have one uploading right now. It's 50 minutes. Really? And I'm like, people are going to watch this probably from
Well, yeah. But even if they don't, it counts as a view, you know? So the thing is, most people, I don't think, watch the whole thing.
No, some people do.
Not 45 minutes. Well, yeah, I know, like, our radio shows and stuff, I know for fact they do,
right?
But if it's just a video, I don't know about makeup or something. They
it depends. The recent drama in the beauty space. So I actually did a video about a situation with lipsticks having mold and issues with them. Awful. And I made about a 35-minute video, and everybody, I looked at the analytics, everybody watched to the end, like literally every single person. There's almost 5,000 views on that. And for me, that's crazy that many people sat through almost a 35-40 minute video of me talking.
Right.
There's nothing going on. It's not like I'm on a traveling on vacation. It's just me talking about the situation.
Yeah.
Right.
But because people, it's a, I mean, in this situation, it's a health issue. There's stuff in the lipsticks, and we paid $18 for the lipstick.
Ugh.
People want to know what's in them, you know? So that's people watch that. So it really depends. And there was a bunch of videos on the drama between Tati and James, two locals here in town.
Yeah, I didn't understand
that. And people were watching that. I mean, long-ass videos.
Yeah. But they were going back and forth with each other, too.
They were. And so many,
Who's the second person? Because I know who James is. I don't know who the other person is.
So Tati. Tati's been doing this. She's been in this beauty game for a long time.
Right.
She actually had a phase for about 3 years where she was making 5 YouTube videos a week. And she reviews everything, like every beauty product you can think of.
Five videos a week is a lot.
A lot. And now she's gone down to 3. And I'm like, I'm trying to just get 2.
Yeah. But 3 is still a lot too, especially if she's doing tutorials and stuff, or is she just reviewing?
Both. She's doing tutorials. Yeah. She's doing reviews. And she has all kinds of brands. She's reviewed brands that I haven't even heard of.
Right. She's probably getting paid real good money to do that, honey.
She gets so many views too. So she doesn't, she's one of those people who doesn't take as many sponsorships. So there's two types of YouTubers I've noticed. It's the ones who depend on the views, and then the ones who just take every brand deal.
Right.
I think there's a good happy in between. Like, get the views, but also only take the brand deals that make sense for you.
Right.
You know, don't take everything. So I think she's done a really good job, and she's...
How many subscribers does she have?
Well, with all this drama, she gained 5 million, so she's at 10 million now.
Fucking hell. Sometimes you just gotta
drama.
Sometimes you just gotta beef with somebody.
Well, that's what I was telling him before we started the show, is that there's people... Today's day and age, they know, they have an idea of what will go viral, but you don't want to go viral for the wrong thing.
Yeah.
People don't care these days. They're just causing drama because they want to go viral. And it's this need to be verified, which goes back to this need to have likes and this need to have people following you, which is very unhealthy.
Right.
But it's just so interesting. I'm like, why did you want to go viral for that? That's not a good thing to be known for, you know?
What was their beef about anyway?
The whole thing, basically, so they were best friends. She kind of treated him as her son, like she kind of took a mom figure.
Mm.
And because he's half her age. He's like 19, 20, and she's like 38, 39.
Oh.
Like, yeah. So it was like a friendship where she kind of treated him as her kid. And basically, she has a line of vitamins and supplements, and she had tried to get him to partner with, basically be paid and partner with her for her brand. And he told her, no, 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 my audience wouldn't like this. Then he goes to Coachella. He claims that there's a security issue and that this group of people was mobbing him because he's such a celebrity and he's so famous. And he texted Nikita and asked her for her Sugar Bear gummy contact, which is a direct competitor of Tati's line. Direct competitor. And he took this deal very last minute. He's at Coachella. He just wanted VIP tickets, like VIP celebrity tickets, so he would be in a different area of Coachella. And so they go off. And he posted about Sugar Bear gummies without telling her. Like, as a friend, I would have been like, listen, this is a situation. So he posted these. It goes live. And she sees it before he calls her. And she just freaks out. She's like, how could you do this to me? I'm like, you're one of my best friends. Like, I've like guided you through all of this. And when I heard her side of the story, she's very respectful. And she's an adult. And she and her husband have helped him with contracts. There was one instance where they basically negotiated $1 million more in the contract because they knew what they were doing. And he didn't. He didn't have the experience.
Right.
So she was with him before he was this big famous guy. Like, she saw talent in him years ago.
Oh.
And he basically backstabbed her in that sense. And she just was very emotional about it. She felt hurt. And to be honest, I think it was a little dramatic on her part to be that upset because, I mean, you got to think I think he's 19, 20. I think he just turned 20.
Which is very immature and young.
Yeah, very immature and young. And he was just taking money. He was taking the situation that was given to him. And it's hard for someone in that age group to say no to money. I mean, you're 20 years old. You're
making more money than half the 30 year olds that you.
Exactly.
Like I've met some social media influencers out and they have so much money. It's ridiculous.
I know. He's got millions of dollars sitting in his bank account and he's bored. He doesn't know what to do. So there's just drama kind of following him around. But that's kind of how that fizzled out. And then she made her video that said, bye, sister. Then she took it down a week later, but it blew up. It had 50 million views because people were like,
I would have left that shit up.
Yeah. I know, me too. I would have left that
50 million, yeah. Cash me out.
That's a lot of money.
Bye, sis. You don't have 50 million views if you have 10 million followers. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Because right. I get I only make a decent amount off my videos. But if I got 50 million off a video, I'd be good.
Take a vacation for the rest of the month, man.
Yeah.
So Jeffree Star ended up jumping into this middle of this.
Of course
after
he did.
I know. I'm like, Jeffree, what? So he jumped in.
He's entertaining as hell, though.
I love him so much. He's my favorite person in the beauty community.
I really think he's great, and he basically started it all.
He was the first person. MySpace days. He's an OG, mm-hmm. OG. Yeah. And I was just talking to someone about this, of how influencers and social media started a long time ago before we even.
I think he's
this
term. Richer than the Kardashians, probably.
Probably, yeah.
You think so?
Yeah, he's like.
Who is that now?
I don't even know. He's a makeup artist, makeup reviewer,
and he has his own makeup line.
Yeah.
So
really,
his makeup is very popular. He sells out within minutes.
Minutes.
And he's making more and more product every time, but he sells out within minutes every single launch. Eyeshadow palette comes out, gone.
Gone.
I can't even get to it fast enough. It's so annoying because I want to get this stuff to review and I just can't get to it. I'm on the site and the site's crashing because there's millions of people on it. It's crazy.
Yeah. Are you serious?
Yeah. It's crazy.
Wow. So people from nothing become these celebrities that are worth a lot of money.
And you know what it is that I don't think anyone really knows when they're sitting in front of the camera that it's going to blow up the way it does. It's just, I feel like
beginning.
It's luck of a draw, really. It takes one video. Like I have a podcast and we had a guest on one time and she's got 5.2 million subscribers on YouTube.
Amazing.
So I asked her, how did you get those subscribers? She said it just was, she was uploading and she was getting 300 views per video. But one video she made basically about how she almost got kidnapped and it went viral.
Right.
So after that video, she got 5 million subscribers just off one video.
Yeah.
Wow,
you see, that's the thing.
Story.
Yeah, it's you never know. But I have a feeling that you really have to reveal yourself online in order to succeed.
I think so. Yes.
Right?
Yeah. And I don't think it could be, I feel like some people go in there acting, but that act's going to get real old if it's not who you are.
Yeah.
I've met people in real life where I've followed them for 3-4 years and I meet them and I'm like, whoa, you are not the same person that I see online. You talk different. Right. Your skin looks different. Yeah. You're just not even who you say you are. And that's exactly it. I mean, it's not, the act is going to be up pretty soon because you can't sustain that for too long. You can't be two different people. You can't be one person online and then another person in real life because, that's going to, it's going to come to an end at some point. So I do think the real raw is really where
it's
at.
So you don't have privacy, really. I mean, that's one thing you give up when you want to be that successful because so many people have to, otherwise you're just like anybody else, you know, because I'm trying to find out what the common denominator is. And I realize it's people that don't mind making themselves look stupid and, anything, just honest and the way they really are.
Yeah.
You know, because people are crazy enough without putting up an act, you know?
See, I got 1,500 subscribers over the weekend, which for me, it was a good jump.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
How many?
1,500. But the only reason I did is because I did a podcast for Timothy De La Ghetto. I was his guest because he was the first guest on he was on my first episode. So he asked me to come on his. And I was just very honest about my love life. And you know, it's a mess.
Right.
So he posted it and people were like, it's refreshing to see somebody that's brutally, even though it's embarrassing, half your stories are basically I suck and so is my dating life. People it's refreshing. So I gained some subscribers off of that. But imagine if I was just lying and making it all up.
Right.
But I feel like sometimes because sometimes I'll get bored and I'll look at other, even if I'm watching my own, I'll suggest somebody else. So I'll watch it. And I can tell that people are lying.
Yeah.
You're lying. This story is not real.
Wow.
It's I can feel you're full of shit.
Yeah.
Even we had a guest on and she was telling the story about something that happened to her
And as I'm sitting there, I'm like, I really wanted to be like, I think you're lying.
Yeah.
Because I was asking her specific questions of like, so what happened? How did you do this? How do you do that? And she was stuttering on the answers. I'm like, she's lying.
What?
You're lying.
Wow. Yeah, people lie. They just want a good story. And they're usually making it up because they're like, this would have happened if I'd made it up, you know? And you're like, no, this actually happened to me.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. It's like, what the fuck? And they're the ones making with millions of subscribers, making millions of dollars.
Right.
And then me, I'm sitting at home being honest. Like the video that I'm uploading today is about my date. But the reason it's long is I got on FaceTime and I recorded my FaceTime with my sister and I told her about the date and the FaceTime is 25 minutes, but we were pissing our pants laughing because it's just, you know, but people are obsessed with me and my sister together. So I'm like, I'm going to add this to the video. So it's 50 minutes, but I feel like people are going to watch that from beginning to end because I purposely put Gabby's FaceTime at the end.
Yeah.
You know,
you see, and you reveal a lot also on social media. She does videos where she cries and all that stuff. Yeah. She's genuine.
Yeah.
And I think that's why you've got so many.
I don't even have that many, but I think about it because I have 72,000 subscribers on
that's amazing
YouTube. But if I started right when I got off of reality TV, I'd probably be at 7 million.
Yep.
But I had no idea that YouTube was going to be what it, and plus I was really poor back then. I didn't have a camera.
Right.
I used to do everything on like iMovie.
Yeah. But tell me something. So on Instagram, you can't make the same amount of money with a lot of followers.
No.
She's got like 350,000, you know? I mean,
you
got
to work with brands. Instagram really? Doesn't pay you. So that's the beauty of YouTube and why we both of us should have not taken breaks.
Yeah.
It's because YouTube pays you just for people
just
watching.
Just automatically, right?
Well, Instagram doesn't do that. Not a lot. I mean, it's like pennies, you know?
Right,
but when
right.
it's 50 million views, I'm taking a vacation for a month.
Right.
You know? But Instagram, you create, and you're not getting paid by Instagram for that content.
Yeah.
Right. You have to get paid by brands. And Instagram does what Facebook, obviously, because they're owned by Facebook, what they did.
I hate that, by the way.
Which is pay to play. So even if she has 350,000 people following her, they won't see her post because Instagram wants you to pay for them to see your post.
Really?
So
that's what I told you.
A fraction of your audience will see your post. So even though they chose to follow her at some point in time, only maybe 50% or 60% or whatever those metrics are can actually see her post.
Yeah.
The others have to make a conscious effort to be like, I want to see Danny's post today. And they have to go search her and find her, even though they follow her.
Right,
so
right,
so it's a
right.
complete opposite platform.
So you have to like boost your ads and stuff in order for them
you
to
gotta
be
pay.
Seen.
Instagram wants money now.
Right.
So they want people, especially if I heard it's more difficult for people that have a business page. So if you switched over from a personal page to a platform page, they're making it even harder because they know you're making money off your page. So they're now making it harder for you to make money. Right. Oh, if you're going to make money off our platform,
we
want to make money off of you.
Yeah.
And mind you, the girls and the guys that have millions of followers that can afford to do that are doing it. I am not going to get on my phone and pay Instagram to show my posts. I'm not doing it.
Right, but it doesn't cost a lot. But at any rate, I mean, it's
not
that bad.
How much is it?
I mean, it depends on how many people you want to reach. So if you want to reach a couple thousand, you can pay $20 for like 2 days. So that's usually what
I feel like
I
that's a lot.
I can do, it is a lot.
But you don't get 2,000
If you're posting two, three times a day,
you're
spending $50, $60, $100 a day. That's a lot of money that you're basically pumping into your content.
That's
but
true.
It is an expense. It's like but business
maybe in the
expense.
Beginning,
I know. It's,
yeah.
like,
it's just, it's a lot.
But in the beginning, you have to do that to get noticed.
Wait,
you know?
So when you pay the $20, is it showing you to people? So you know how you're scrolling through Instagram and someone you don't follow pops up and it says like sponsored ads?
Yes.
That's what
that's
you're paying
what it,
for.
Yes.
Right.
Yep.
But how come the people that follow us aren't seeing our shit?
You can also do it to the people who are following you. So that sponsored ad will show up to just the people that are following you.
Right.
So you can basically build the demographic and who you want to basically hit with that ad. So you can create a specific audience target. So it can be people who are following you, who are in this age group, who are female, who like these things. And they have all that information. They know if these people are liking beauty fashion posts.
Right.
But then you can also hit people who don't follow you. And for me, I think today what's more important is to hit the people who already follow you, who are interested or had some interest in you.
Right.
Because we've all been focused on, we want more followers.
Right.
No. Yeah. You need to actually target the people who already took an interest
in you. Well,
can
you pay for both?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And how much is that?
It depends. It depends on how much you want to spend.
It's
like Facebook. It's
stuff.
Like you do $5, you do $10, you do $20, you can do $1,000. Some of these multi-million dollar companies, you know, like the P&G brands, they're spending millions of dollars a year to get to the right audience.
Yeah.
So if you have the money, you'll get to more people. You'll get those likes.
Right.
And sometimes what'll happen is the brands will boost my post. So then thousands more people will find me.
Right.
And it helps me because it's boosting my post.
Right.
But I mean, it's expensive. So it comes at an expense to get to that new audience. So it really depends, but everything about it is money.
I can't remember the last time I made money off of Instagram. Like, I work with clothing brands and I promote them, but for them, it's like, I don't have a big enough following. I'm not
getting... Fashion doesn't pay.
No.
Sadly. Fashion, in that sense, fashion just
sucks. Free
clothes,
but it's not paying me. Exactly. And they want so much.
I can't
much.
Pay my rent with free clothes. No. And that's one of my biggest pet peeves is when brands are like, we'll give you 5 pairs of sunglasses if you post for us. And I'm like, I can't do anything with these 5 sunglasses. Yeah. That doesn't help me. Like, this is a business. I have people that I have to pay, you know?
Yeah.
I don't want sunglasses. I want you to pay me if I'm going to wear them and rock them. And so that whole fashion space just does not pay. And I've talked about this with a few people. And the reason is because there's so many fashion brands and not everybody fits into a certain mold. So you work with like a Fashion Nova or ASOS or Nordstrom. Not everybody is shopping there. Their budgets are much smaller.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with beauty, everybody uses shampoo and conditioner. Guy, girl, baby, everybody uses those products. So those brands have so much more money because it's a guarantee that their people are using them. Same thing with toothpaste brands. That's why we've seen so much of, you know, Colgate and some of these other brands are like teeth whitening.
Yeah.
They have a lot of money because people are using oral care products. So you kind of have to figure, because originally I was so upset when I saw fashion bloggers getting the beauty deals that I was like, wait a second. I'm the one talking about skincare. This girl doesn't know the difference between serum and moisturizer. What is she doing talking about it? You know? And it's because beauty is what pays the bills. Mm-hmm. Fashion doesn't. So if you're a fashion blogger, you have to have some kind of beauty mixed in, because that's going to be
Which is crazy
paycheck.
Because I know that a few girls I know, like one girl I know is getting paid $15,000 a month by Fashion Nova for like 5, and for me in my head I'm like, I wish they paid me. They stopped working with me because I asked to get paid, because they wanted so much. They would send me like this long email about like, you have to post 6 pictures a week, don't put anyone else in it, don't tag anybody. I'm like, you guys aren't paying me. So if I'm wearing Public Desire shoes, I'm gonna tag them. If I'm wearing Luxury for Princess hair extensions, I'm gonna tag them. You guys aren't you're not writing me a check. So I finally eventually asked to get paid, so they cut me off. I'm like, wow, because I've been working with them since I did reality TV, so 10 years.
Wow.
So they couldn't even write me like a
so
measly
you've been
paycheck
doing all that work for them for organically for free for 10 years, and you're like, hey, can I get a paycheck?
And I didn't
like,
even
no.
say, and I said, not even a great one, just let's work out something nothing.
That's how you see people's true colors, especially with those brands, because I've been burned a lot of times, and this is why I've smartened up, because they will always say, oh, do you want to work together? We'll do one organic post. And organic means free.
No.
It's just saying, they're basically just making it sound better. Like, we want organic posts. And after that first organic post, it doesn't matter if it does well or it tanks.
They go ghost.
Because you did it for free. Yeah. Why would they pay you? And in my mind, psychologically, I was like, wait a second. They just tricked me because they got me to post for free.
Mm-hmm.
So then on the flip side, why would they pay me? They already got to my audience.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And they don't understand that one post doesn't do a
damn
like
thing.
You gotta keep posting.
You've
and
gotta
not only that,
posting.
You gotta post on your story too. Yeah.
Absolutely. Because those people are really invested. Mm-hmm. Like, they care about what you're doing every day. It's kind of like a vlog channel. They want to know. So you really do have to post on your stories.
Right.
Even if it's organic, if you see the product in the background, like, just very subtle. It doesn't have to be like, use this product. It doesn't need to be in your face. But I've been burned a few times with certain brands. They're like, we're going to have you be our brand ambassador. Just post this one time for us for free.
Yeah.
Did it. Never heard from them again. They just ghost you. And I'm like, ooh, not doing that again.
But then then you can get online and talk about how bad of business they are.
Yep.
Keep it real and
the
authentic.
The problem with that, and this is where
other businesses see it and they're like, oh, they're going to bash us too.
Well, that's one side of it.
Yeah.
That's definitely one side of it. The other side is this, we're in a craze right now where everybody's throwing lawsuits like out of their ass, and the defamation situation comes up where you are essentially defaming this brand and making consumers unhappy, because now consumers see the flip side. They see how these brands run their business. And if you affect their business negatively, they'll come after you.
Wow,
and sure, I could win $1 million from having that lawsuit and have, you know, the win on my end, because this brand did just do me dirty.
Right. In writing,
But I have to pay a lot of fees to get to that point. And I need that's a lot of money attorney wise. And these brands know, they take advantage. They're like, this girl's not going to spend $50,000 in attorney fees to win $1 million. So we're going to like basically threaten to attack me. And that's the problem with a lot of this, is influencers started by being honest and real. You know, when Michelle Phan was making her videos way back
she
in the day.
She stopped YouTube though, right?
She did. When she started, she was like, this is really awesome. This is really good and like cool. And that's how this whole thing came about. Now it's so hard to see who's telling the truth and who's actually using these products.
Yeah, like anyone that, yeah, that anyone does the gummy bears or
it's all garbage.
I'm like, you guys are literally doing this because they paid you however much money.
And the problem with those brands too is that they pay like pennies for multiple posts.
Yeah.
They pay literally hundreds of dollars. If even if you have a million followers, they're like, we'll pay you $500 and you have to post three times.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no. What planet are we on? Yeah. That's not how this works.
So that's why I thought that's another reason.
Guys,
why
I can't get a word in edgewise and I need to. I need to. I'm like waiting for a split second. I'm not getting it here.
We're just getting into this.
I know, but we're running out of time and I want to talk a little bit about why are the letters here and everything. You have a team of people, right?
Yes.
You work with people.
Yes.
What's your do you have a company now or is it just your
it's
name?
It's all under my LLC.
Right.
But everybody who works for me is just very talented in their own right. So I have a photographer, a videographer. Mm-hmm. I have kind of a business manager, full-time assistant, social media manager who helps me respond to comments. Trying to think, obviously an attorney, an accountant.
Damn,
I mean,
girl.
It's like a whole, it's a business. And keep in mind when I first started, and this is what most people don't know. When I first started, I was everybody. Yeah. I learned every piece of it. I was sending invoices. I was, you know, accountables receivable and like getting those collections and basically knocking on brands like, can I get my paycheck? Like, it's been 3 months. Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
So now that I have people to help me, I can really focus on the actual content creation and focusing on creating content that I'm proud of. Because back then it was just like, oh my gosh, I need to get this done.
Mm-hmm.
And I also need to do 700 other things. So there is a full team now. This is a true business. It really
is.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Do you want to give a shout out? I see there's a couple people on your website. These are the people that you work with most closely, right?
Yeah.
Give a shout out. I mean, we want to know who
Well, don't give away your secrets, though.
I know. I'm like, I don't want anyone working with them.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Then don't.
Yeah. I feel it. That's why I stepped in. I was like, don't you dare say anything.
No one can contact my assistant. Okay. Nobody. She's mine.
Now, let me ask you this. I'm really curious because we've been talking for a whole hour. I want to understand how you started this, like from the beginning.
Yeah. So back in 2012-13, I was taking a advanced writing class and I did business writing as a minor. And the professor said, you have to create a blog post, or I should say, you have to create a blog and write 10 blog posts. And she said, I don't care what platform. I don't care how you figured out. I need to see 10 blog posts by the end of the semester. And so back then I was very interested in the electronic dance music scene.
Mm.
So what I did is I wrote 10 posts about staying hydrated, what outfits to wear, what events were coming up, things to know before you go to these events. And obviously I kept it PG because it was a professor reading this. So I wasn't talking about like copious amounts of drinking and all that good stuff.
And Molly and drugs.
Yeah, and all that stuff that comes along with this. But she read it. She loved it. I got an A on the project, but I had my friends kind of read it because I was nervous because I did like to write. And having other people read your writing is kind of like being very, very vulnerable.
Yeah.
And she basically told me that I should share this with everybody. And so my friends told me that when they read my post, it felt like I was talking to them. Like it was just a verbal conversation. That's how they read the tone in the writing. And that's so important to me. And that's one of the reasons I love when Jim Gaffigan, my favorite comedian, he writes a book. I can hear his voice saying these jokes to me as I read it. And that's exactly why I love reading his work.
Right.
And so people had that element with my writing. So I decided to keep going and I started reviewing all the beauty products because that was just coming up. Like that was back when Michelle Phan was like the only one doing this and Zoella, those big, like those girls.
Right.
And I just started writing blog posts about, okay, this eyeshadow palette is really good. This is really terrible. So I gained about 40,000 people way back then before this was a thing.
So it's important to be there early, though, right?
I think so.
You stand out more because there's less noise.
That was years ago. But just think about if you take what you're doing on your verbal blog and put it in a YouTube blog, you're going to blow up.
That's what I'm thinking. That's why I'm like, I need to keep focusing on YouTube.
Yeah, because say like you did the EDM video about what to expect, what to wear before Coachella, you probably would have gotten a million views on that.
Yeah.
Right.
Facts.
Yeah.
So if you just take what you're writing and like just talk in front of a camera, even if it seems like it's boring, have a glass of wine, have like some type of thing to like stick, like, you know, make it fun. Like, oh, she always has her glass of wine when she's talking to us, or she's always painting her nails. Just do something fun while you're talking.
Yeah.
So that's like your...
It's like hanging out with me.
Yeah.
It's like exactly. More personable.
But people will watch.
There you go.
Everybody watches. I'm going to be honest. Nobody reads blogs anymore.
I know. It's so sad.
Yeah. Well, Adaletta, I got to tell you, if I've seen anybody that's earned what they have, it's you, you know?
It's been a
you're
lot
very
of work.
Smart. I mm-hmm. mean, you obviously figured out the industry inside out.
Mm-hmm. Haven't gone viral yet.
Yeah.
It will a lot of hard work. Speak it into existence. Your next video is going to go viral. I'm speaking it now.
It might. It might. The video I have planned to go in May.
Yeah.
Really? So now you set yourself as a brand, and that's how you earn your living today.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Amazing. Amazing. So how can people find you online?
I spend about 15 to 20 hours a day between me and my assistant on Instagram. So you can usually find us on Instagram.
Damn, girl. But I get it.
It's a lot of time. Yeah. It's a lot of time. But it's Attitude. It's Adaatude. I took that name because Adaletta always seemed really hard for people. So I went with Ada, and I've always been really sassy and just like I say the truth even when I probably shouldn't. So mm-hmm. Attitude just made a lot of sense for me and my brand. So that's where you guys can usually find me. And then I'm also on my blog. I know you probably don't read blogs anymore, but it's adaatude.com.
Yeah.
And those are the two main platforms. And right. We're working on YouTube at the moment.
Yeah. Get that YouTube up, girl. That's where it's at.
The blog is cool. I mean, you guys can see this. You've written and done a lot of videos, right?
I feel like you should still write on your blog, but also make a video and say, oh, guys, I'm talking about what I posted on my blog today. Like, make it kind of like coincide with each other. Like, every time you post on your blog, post a video about it.
Right.
Because people might be interested enough to go read exactly what you said. Here I am. Helping you out, girl.
There you go.
I'm here all week.
Because that's what I would do. If I watched a video about a blog, I'd probably click the link in your bio and still read the whole thing.
You guys got to collaborate somehow, you know? I mean,
because
you
guys. I'm feeling this energy.
Yeah.
I like you.
There's so much going on here, you know? And just throw me some crumbs, will you?
Sorry, we did talk for a while.
Out of millions of views, you know, it's okay to throw me a few hundred bucks. Anyway, Adaletta, thank you so much for joining us. You're a lot of fun. We welcome you back anytime.
Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure chatting with you guys.
Of course, you're amazing. Danny, you're amazing too.
Thanks, I try.
You're amazing every day. thank you, everybody, for listening and watching, and we'll see you all tomorrow.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.